Jesse Corcoran Podcast.
Just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous, don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest disc jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over again.
Thursday, October 7th. I'm not going to guarantee you how good I'm going to sound here today because I, like everybody else, tried to stay up last night, watched a ball game, and then with the ending of the game, and by the way, if for some reason you're unaware of what happened, Cardinals lost, season is over, Alex Reyes served up a desirable pitch for a Dodger hitter, and that was the end of things. Did I mention it's Thursday, October 7th? I have no idea. Well, I mean, let's be honest here. This was not one of the better Cardinal baseball teams that we've had around here in recent years, and they made it really fun and interesting coming from a huge deficit, coming all the way back to making the playoffs, sort of slipping in the back door, and like I said, they made it very, very exciting. One might go so far as to say that they overperformed a little bit, particularly in the last, 6 weeks of the season, but there's just too many holes on this team, and ultimately, though, they played well, played respectable, played what a lot of people think is one of the best teams in baseball, the Los Angeles Dodgers, obviously. Nobody was giving the Cardinals any chance at all of advancing into the next round of the playoffs. And, you know, here you had a situation where, if not for Alex Reyes grooving one in the bottom of the ninth inning last night, you know, they may have gone on to the next round of the playoffs. So you have a very good nucleus of a baseball team coming back next year. The question is, will some of these guys produce the kind of offense that they did. You know, I said at the beginning of the season, Cardinals have to get way, way more offensive production out of center field. And for half the season, it looked like I was right. And then all of a sudden, Harrison Bader just has some sort of epiphany and starts playing way over his head. Tyler O'Neill knocking the cover off the ball. You got Nolan Arenado coming back. And it'll be bittersweet next year. After losing Mike Shannon this year at the end of the season, next year it'll be the swan song for both Yadier Molina and Adam Wainwright. They're not coming back. Okay, this is it. This is finally it. In recent years, you never really knew whether you were watching those two guys for the very last time. But this time, this is it. They're not coming back. They're just getting too old. I love how Yadi looks so pissed off when somebody steals against him. It's almost like he takes it personally. And that's a good thing. That's a great way to compete. It really is. And so, you know, whatever team you've adopted in the NFL, you'll be watching that now. And, of course, the Blues. It's hard for me to take hockey seriously until, I don't know, late spring. If the Blues are on, fine, I'll watch it. It's nice, okay? But I just can't get into it in the fall. And by the way, you're going to see that my long-standing theory really does have some weight to it. I've said for years that one of the real advantages, one of the benefits, I guess you would say, in your baseball team making it deep into the playoffs is that it shortens the winter. If you're still playing ball at the end of October and you win the World Series and your victory parade usually is the first week of November, now you're still pumped up and you're still enjoying life. You're not even cognizant of the fact that the temperature has fallen about 40 degrees outside. You're just having a great time. The next thing you know, it's Thanksgiving. The next thing you know, it's Christmas. The next thing you know, pitchers and catchers are reporting to Jupiter, Florida. So it's one, you know, additional benefit to whatever team you follow, whether it's the Cardinals or somebody else, you know, whether that team making it deeper into the playoffs. So that's gone now. Speaking of football, you've got Seattle hosting the Los Angeles Rams tonight on the Thursday night game. If you were around in 1984, you definitely remember this day, because here's what I did on October 7th, 1984. My girlfriend and I, Angie from Cahokia, Illinois. Hi, Ange. We drove to Chicago because my sister, who was very connected in the advertising world back then, said, hey, we've got tickets for you to see the Bears at Soldier Field playing the New Orleans Saints, and it looks like Walter Payton is going to break Jim Brown's all-time rushing record of over 12,000 yards. We have a pair of tickets for you if you want to go to the game. And I'm like, hell yeah. And then I realize, oh, wait a minute now. The Cubs are playing the Padres in a game that, you know, is pretty darn important in playoffs. But that game doesn't start until 3 o'clock Central Time, so here's what we'll do. We'll go to the game at Soldier Field. We'll watch Walter Payton break the record, which happened in the first half. That was the days of Kenny Stabler. Remember Kenny Stabler? The snake. That's a pretty good nickname to have. I think that my favorite all-time nickname for a professional athlete, you know, Sweetness, Walter Payton, that's right up there. There's a pitcher back in the 80s from the Dominican Republic, and his nickname was Senor Smoke. That is the best nickname for a pro athlete I have ever heard in my life. So anyhow, we go up there. We see Walter Payton break the record. It's halftime. It's like, okay, let's go to my sister's house. She lives up on Lakeshore Drive. We'll go watch the Cubs and the Padres. And that was the game. That was the game when Leon Durham, the first baseman for the Chicago Cubs, let a ball go right between his legs, a la Bill Buckner, except that Leon Durham did it first. And the Cubs ended up losing, and that was the end of it. And I remember we were so pissed off, we didn't even want to stay in Chicago. We were supposed to stay, we decided not to. And I had to work the next morning anyhow. This was in my Casey days. So we just got in the car and started driving. We got home at like 4 o'clock in the morning, and we were both just so pissed off at the world. And where did those 37 years go, by the way? We have the possibility of record-breaking heat in St. Louis this weekend. The record, I think, for Saturday is 89, and they're projecting 89 degrees. So the last gasp of summer we shall see. Is the grocery store yesterday, and they're out of everything. You know what they're out of? They're out of cat food. a lot of the really sort of premier, premium cat food. And unfortunately, the two little bitches that I have, Victor and Louie, they're so goddamn finicky about what they eat, so you have to give them this special food. And one of our cats has diabetes, and so there's a lot of cat food that I'm going too deeply into the cat food story here. Pardon me. The point I'm trying to make is that depending on what part of the country you're in and depending on what it is you happen to be looking for, you're finding these shortages, these supply chain problems. You know, now on top of it, if you like cereal in the morning, good luck, because Kellogg's is on strike. So you're going to start seeing issues there. I don't eat breakfast, and I especially don't eat gooey breakfasts. I see people eating all this stuff, just shoving food down their faces and eggs and all that. And I just, man, you know what I have for breakfast this morning? A turkey sandwich. You can't beat this combination. Here it is. Sliced turkey, and then you get some seasoning on there, like maybe some Mrs. Dashes or something like that, and you throw that on there. And then a little mustard, and then a leaf of iceberg lettuce, piece of Swiss cheese, a slice of juicy, red, rich tomato, and then you put the whole thing on a grilled English muffin. Slice that thing in half, throw some olives or some pickles on the plate, maybe a couple of potato chips. You think you have a better sandwich than that? Come on, fight me! All right, to the showbiz news. I don't know how desperate you would have to be to imagine dating Whoopi Goldberg, but she says dating younger guys can be tiring because, and here's the quote, there's a lot of information you have to impart, end quote. Like when she once dated a younger guy and he didn't know Paul McCartney used to be in a band. There's a website called WikiFeet where you can spend all kinds of time staring at pictures of female celebrities' feet. Kim Kardashian recently discovered it, and she got excited when she saw she had a perfect 5-star rating. Hey, look, the Kardashians drive me insane, but if you're going to look at one of them, for God's sakes, I have a whole list of body parts I would get to before I would get to the feet. I've never understood that foot fetish thing. I've never gotten that. She, of course, will be hosting Saturday Night Live this weekend. Seems like all of the wild child women of show business are making the entertainment news this morning. Back when Paris Hilton was out partying around the clock, her mom used to track her down by calling the city desk at the New York Post newspaper. She says they usually be able to track her exactly where she was because they were following her everywhere. This is one of these things I do not understand. It's like people who don't have anything better to do than wait for something to piss them off and then just start jumping up and down and calling for people's head on a stick. Okay, so Renee Zellweger is going to be playing Pam Hupp in a movie. This is the chick, and I use the term very loosely, who's serving life for that 2016 murder out in St. Charles County. All right, so Renee Zellweger, who is a stick, somehow got cast to play Pam Hupp in an NBC series called The Thing About Pam. Pam Hupp is not built like Renee Zellweger. She's husky. And so Renee Zellweger has got to wear a fat suit to play her in the movie. And there are people saying that that's body shaming. Now let's back up just a minute. If you're going to play Pam Hupp, shouldn't the casting director have picked somebody in Hollywood? Oh, that's right. There are no husky people in Hollywood. If I was a struggling actress in Hollywood right now, I'd put on about 30 pounds. I'd probably get work. Go to a casting call. Is anybody here not anorexic? You won't find a more arrogant, pompous son of a bitch than Gene Simmons of Kiss. The Kiss Farewell Tour is going to end late next year. Paul Stanley is a little less obnoxious. Here's his quote. You can play beat the clock, but ultimately the clock wins. But he thinks Kiss will continue without him because the band is so much more than music. Halloween's sneaking up on us. I just put up the decorations the other day. Some people like to watch scary movies this time of year. The Exorcist was the first horror movie to be nominated for a Best Picture Oscar. That was back in 1974. Psycho, the first American film to show a toilet on screen. And the first thing you hear is the sound of a toilet flushing. You know that last scene in Carrie with Sissy Spacek where her hand comes up out of the grave? That's actually Sissy Spacek's hand because she was adamant about doing her own hand work and she had to be buried underground for them to be able to do it. The shark in Jaws doesn't appear in full until 1 hour and 21 minutes into the movie. The mechanical shark that was built rarely worked while filming, so the scenes were limited. And the blob, and I didn't know this, this was my first official date. I think I was in either 7th or 8th grade when this happened, and I took Beverly Ballow, along with, there was a group of us, it was like 6 of us, so you know it was like a group date, but I took her to see the blob. Well, it turns out that's based on a supposedly real incident that happened in 1950s in Philadelphia. Police officers came across a purple jelly-like mass that they saw fall from the sky, but then it vanished. Even the FBI got involved and a press conference was held. And like I was just saying a couple of moments ago, don't try to get away with anything. Don't try to get away with anything anymore, because there's somebody sitting out there who is ready to poke holes in whatever it is you're doing. Now, sometimes they're poking holes in things that were completely innocent. You're like, I wasn't even thinking that. So if it came out sounding that way to you, well, maybe you're the problem, not me. But that's another story. But anyhow, this is the thing I'm getting at. CBS used to artificially add bird sounds to their golf coverage. That was until the year 2000, when a bird expert noticed the noises didn't match birds that lived in that area and exposed the scam. What did I tell you? Every couple of years, somebody does a movie where something happens in the White House. The White House is under siege or something like that. 10 people have died inside the White House in its 221 years. That includes two presidents, William Henry Harrison and Zachary Taylor. I don't know what happened to the other people. We were talking about Kellogg's being on strike and the fact that some of your favorite cereals might start being a little difficult to get a hold of. Kellogg's picked the name Pop-Tarts way back in the day because Andy Warhol's pop art movement was huge when they introduced the product in the 1960s. Pop art, Pop-Tart, go with it, Bob. Here's another one of these things that we just say and we don't think about. We say 2 o'clock. O'clock. What the hell does O'clock mean? Well, because during the 13th through the 17th centuries, there weren't many clocks around. So when somebody was telling you the time from a clock and not a sundial or just guessing, they would say it's 4 of the clock. And that became 4 o'clock. Back to Halloween, a third of Americans admit they've intentionally bought too much Halloween candy before so they'd have leftover candy that they could eat themselves. 40% of us have also bought additional Halloween candy in November because the discounts are too hard to resist. Now, don't buy your candy too early. More than a third of adults have accidentally snacked on Hollywood candy throughout the entire month of October before, and that's no damn good. Don't load up on Halloween candy. You got to make room for Christmas cookies pretty soon. 53% of parents plan to steal some of their kids' haul this year, and over half of them won't feel too guilty about it. That includes 32% who said they have no guilt. 41% of parents usually take their kids to a different neighborhood to trick-or-treat, either because it's safer, more walkable, or there's just more candy to be had. 23% of Americans who didn't buy candy have had to pretend they weren't home when trick-or-treaters showed up at their door. And 1 in 9 people say they've handed out healthy treats on Halloween instead of candy. That's a good way to get your windows broken. And in Watertown, Massachusetts, which is a suburb of Boston, they're asking people to keep their pumpkins inside this year, put out plastic ones instead, because of the town's health director says jack-o'-lanterns are like candy to rats. They've got a lot of construction going on, which is driving more rats out. So that's one reason they're asking people to keep their pumpkins inside. But it might be an issue in other areas of the country, too. And COVID is partly to blame. A ton of restaurants have closed down during the pandemic. And the rats that used to hang out there have had to migrate to other spots, including residential areas. That means there might be more rats around in your area in general. And pumpkins could make the problem even worse. When one rat finds a delicious pumpkin, they tend to let the other rats know about it. So jack-o'-lanterns could cause a rat problem, and then they'll start having babies. A female rat typically has 6 litters a year. Holy jeez. With 5 to 10 babies per litter. And each one of those babies can start reproducing within 5 weeks. So theoretically, 2 rats can become over 1,000 rats in less than a year. I think kids who want rats as pets are weird. You got cats, you got dogs. One of my daughters has a pig. Thankfully, she's not living with me. But is the type of hypothetical question something you want to deal with today? Your house is on fire. That actually happened to one of my uncles down in Houston about 30, well, actually almost close to 40 years ago now, come to think of it. He's sitting there minding his own business, watching TV, and all of a sudden people start banging on the doors and the windows. He goes running to the door. What are you, out of your mind? What are you guys doing? And they're like, get out of the house. Get out of the house. He's like, why? They're like, look, whole top half of his house was on fire. It had got struck by lightning, and he didn't even know it, but the whole upstairs was on fire. Burned the house to the foundation. They got everybody out, but it brings up that question, is it something you would do, go back into a burning building to go get one of your beloved pets? 3 in 5 people who have a cat or dog say they would run back into a burning building to save them. Got some more stats on pets here. 63% of pet owners think the fact that their cat or dog always follows them around shows that the pet really loves them. The fact that you're feeding them wouldn't play into that now, would it? 48% of people who have cats and dogs say they've bonded with one of them more than the other. 80% said they're closer with their dog than their cat. 84% of Gen Z pet owners say they're likely to include their cat or dog in big milestone events like their wedding, and almost that many said they'd also consider a pet-inspired tattoo. 2/3 of pet owners think they can read their pet's mind. And the top ways we spoil our pets: extra treats, lots of attention, extra playtime, and buying them tons of toys. A mailman near Cleveland was cited for public indecency after he wouldn't stop peeing on the same mailbox. It's not that he's a public servant. It's not that he's a mailman and he's peeing in public. He's peeing on the same mailbox over and over again. And this is news you can use. Everybody pay attention, because you don't want to hear about this later, guys. A British surgeon is saying that the world's most dangerous sex position is the reverse cowgirl. It is responsible for a whopping 50% of penis fractures. This guy's name is Dr. Karan Raj. He boasts 4.3 million followers on TikTok. He says the reverse cowgirl is the world's most dangerous sex position because a man's penis can slip out and be crushed by his partner's pubic bone during erratic thrusting. Gosh, erratic thrusting is one of my favorite. In a viral video that's already racked up more than 2.1 million views, the doctor explains that a penis is technically boneless. You can make up your own jokes for that. But the word fracture is used to describe a tear in something called the tunica albuginea. That's a piece of tissue that allows the penis to become enlarged and erect, and sounds sort of important. All right, television tonight, you've got the 5th season premiere of Young Sheldon on CBS. Madonna's on with Jimmy Fallon. Get the censor with the beeping noise. Jimmy Kimmel, Ellen Pompeo, Henry Winkler, and Billy Idol. It's a pretty good show. Stephen Colbert has Dr. Sanjay Gupta, James Corden, Daniel Craig, and Rami Malek, both in that new James Bond movie. And Jason Sudeikis pops up with his old buddy Seth Meyers. Birthdays today, Brie Olsen, one of Charlie Sheen's goddesses. You could argue she was the head goddess, 35. Tom York from Radiohead, 53. Simon Cowell with All of the Money, 62. Yo-Yo Ma, cello virtuoso, 66. Vladimir Putin, interestingly, being listed amongst the celebrity birthdays today, 69. John Cougar Mellencamp is 70. Joy Behar from The View, 79 years old. By the way, has anybody noticed that nobody has seen or heard from Barbara Walters in about 5 or 6 years now? That's a long time for somebody who is so prominent. You know, she was always popping up somewhere. She must be in pretty bad shape. That's all I'll say. Maybe she's having a bad hair decade. And this may take a while for people to shake off. But again, with the Cardinals losing that game last night against the Dodgers, not a happy flight home. They got to clean out their lockers, go home for the winter. But like I said, you'd be surprised how fast we're going to be talking about pitchers and catchers reporting to Jupiter, Florida. So we'll take you out today with St. Louis homeboy Donnie Goldberg. Might be the last baseball stuff we'll be playing now for a few months. So enjoy here.
Lord, I was born a Cardinal fan. Willie and the Wizard, Big Mac and Stan the Man. But if they're winning or losing, we give the boys a hand. 'Cause I was born a Cardinal fan. Standing on the corner in a sea of red off Broadway, in the shadow of the Statue of the Man. Hanging round till game time with a ticket in. Lord, I was born a Cardinal fan. Willie and the Wizard, Big Mac and Stan the Man. Alive and well is baseball in America's heartland. Thank God I was born a Cardinal fan. Lord, I was born a Cardinal fan.
And that's it. Thanks to Donnie Goldberg right there. Nice job on that song. We gotta go. We're here every weekday morning. We publish at about 7 o'clock. If you miss a podcast, don't worry. We archive them all right here. It is absolutely free. Email me at JC at JCOnTheLine.com. Facebook, the Showgram with JC Corcoran. A big thanks to our technical wizard, Everett Marshall. Talk to you in the morning. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The JC Corcoran Podcast.